come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. In an educational climate consumed with leaving no child behind and closing the achievement gaps, the education system has neglected to raise the ceiling while we struggle to lift the floor. My next guest takes us inside America's most selective high schools to learn how high-achieving students perform. We'll discuss his latest book, Exam Schools. Chester Finn is the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and a leading policy expert, educator, public servant who has devoted his career to improving education in the United States. He's also a senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institute, where he chairs the Core Task Force of K-12 Education. For 40 years, Chester has been at the forefront of the national debate about school reform. He has served as Assistant Secretary at the U.S. Department of Education and as a staff assistant to the President of the United States. Chester is the author of 20 books. His latest book is titled Exam Schools, Inside America's Most Selective Public High Schools, which he co-authored with Jessica Hockett. Chester holds 3 degrees from Harvard University. He and his wife have 2 grown children and 3 grandchildren. Joining us from the Washington, D.C. area. Hi, Chester. How are you today?
Hey, nice to be with you. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in this area and serving our country for as many years as you have. Now, let's start with what I perceive as one of the greatest threats to the United States. Some people will say that the United States' debt is our biggest threat. And while that is definitely a threat, I contend that an even bigger threat to our future is our declining educational standards. It was just this week that it was announced college entrance exam scores, the SAT, for reading dropped to their lowest level on record. The number of students entering scientific, technical, engineering, and math disciplines is way below where it needs to be to fuel our economy. And our high schools aren't doing an adequate job to prepare our students for 21st century jobs or for college. And then along come exam schools. Now, they have been around for a while, but for my listeners who might not be familiar with them, describe what an exam school is and what they mean to our highest performing and most promising young students.
Yes, indeed. Thanks very much. What we call exam schools are a very interesting little sector within American public education. These are high schools that are academically oriented. They prepare kids for college. They are aimed at high-achieving, high-ability, highly motivated students at the high school level. And they practice selective admission, which is to say more kids want to go to them than they can accommodate, and they use a whole variety of means to screen and select students for admission. They are sometimes take as few as 1 in 10 of their applicants. Sometimes they take everybody that meets a certain minimum threshold for admission. They vary quite a lot. There are 165 of them around the country that met all of our criteria, including, incidentally, just a handful in California. We regard these as one, though certainly not the only one, means of responding to the problem you described, which is that the country hasn't been paying very much attention to its high-achieving students, and that that is a threat to our long-term national well-being.
All right. Chester, my notes say that there are about 135 students across the United States enrolled in an exam school. As you said, there are about 165 of them in your study in 30 different states. That comes out to roughly 1% of all high school students nationwide. So I'm going to ask you a typical high school teacher question. Do a little compare and contrast for us between a typical public high school and one of these exam schools. And let's compare and contrast them on teacher selection, curriculum, teacher effectiveness, and overall educational effectiveness.
Excellent questions. And of course, the biggest contrast is the obvious one, which is that the ordinary high school typically takes everybody that lives within a particular community or a particular part of a community, and it's based on a geographic intake, and it tries to be all things to all students, whether they're high-achieving, low-achieving, whether they are smart or not so smart, and whether they want to go to college or not. The exam schools specialize in high-ability, high-achieving kids who do want to go to college, and they are selective, and they often draw kids from across the whole county or the whole of a big city rather than just the neighborhood. Their teachers are public school teachers, mostly. Sometimes they're college professors and other people with interesting backgrounds, but They're public school teachers, but they have more PhDs than the average high school teacher population. They tend to be very able teachers who know their subject well and who are not threatened by working with high-ability kids. As one principal put it to me, describing how the teachers in his school end up there, he said, well, the central office has finally learned not to send me any more teachers who would get eaten alive by my students. These have to be teachers who are pretty swift and willing to work really hard, because keeping up and getting ahead of these kids and then working on all the individual research projects and things like that the kids are likely to be engaged in takes a lot out of a teacher, and they usually don't get paid any more than the norm. They may get some extra pay for a longer day, for a seventh period, for example, but basically they're paid on the normal pay scale.
All right. Now, Chester, one of the things that I found most interesting, you mentioned it in passing almost, that there are more PhDs among teachers at these exam schools. Well, in fact, the number is rather striking. 11% of the teachers at exam schools hold a PhD versus only 1.5% in the general public school population at large. The other thing that I found interesting was that the classroom size for these exam schools is a little bit larger than it is on average for our public schools. And here we are, we're talking about class size and everything else, and yet these high-achieving students in the classrooms are about 17 students to every one teacher in an exam school versus the national average of about 15 to 1. So talk to us about this student-teacher relationship and maybe the myth that surrounds that.
Well, the student, the class size shibboleth is a big mistake we've generally made in American education over the last 50 years, which is we've assumed that smaller classes would lead to better educated kids, and therefore we have made classes smaller, and we've hired tons more teachers, and we've put basically all the extra money into hiring more teachers rather than better teachers or paying good teachers more. And that's led to a 3 million teachers employed in American public education for just fair to middling wages, and many of them not as strong as frankly they need to be. The exam school teacher student ratio, as you said, is not quite as generous as in the average public high school. There are many reasons for this, including the fact that exam schools do less special education of disabled kids. But the overall point I think I'd make is that these schools, by and large, do not have extra resources. Sometimes they do, but most of them don't, and some of them really are just scraping by on actually less money than the regular schools in the neighborhood are getting. I have been laying off people just like the other schools in the neighborhood. It's a mistake to think of them as lavishly resourced places like a fancy independent school.
All right. My guest is Chester Finn, author of the book Exam Schools, Inside America's Most Selective Public High Schools. The other thing that I found interesting in reading the book was the educational effectiveness of these exam schools. Now, this is where it gets, to me, a little bit controversial, because studies by researchers at Duke University and MIT found that they had little impact on SAT scores, college enrollment, or college graduation at these exam schools. That seems almost in direct contrast to the enthusiasm and the excitement that the teachers engender in their students at these schools. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's also contrary to the demand that there is for getting into these schools. And the marketplace is clearly signaling that supply does not meet demand, whatever it is these schools do for kids. There's been very little research in this area. Let's be clear. The two studies that we mention in the book are the only two that we have been able to lay our hands on that ever even tried to look at the actual effectiveness of these schools. And the effectiveness, mind you, the right question to ask about effectiveness is, do these schools do more for these kids than the same kids would do in other schools? It calls to mind an old joke about elite universities like Harvard and Yale and Stanford, which goes along the lines of, well, they've got a good faculty and a good curriculum, but they have a fantastic admissions office. Question is, these exam schools clearly screen their students for energy, ambition, motivation, and achievement, and intellect. So how do these kids do compared to how these same kids would do in a regular school? And the truth is, these two little studies suggest maybe not much better. Suggest that these kids do maybe not much better in the exam schools. But they're very small studies. They only involved a few schools. They involved a particular kind of complicated methodology. But mostly what they say to me is that we need a whole lot more evidence about the what educators would call the value added by these schools after the kids are accepted by the admissions office.
My guest is Chester Finn. We're talking about exam schools. And Chester, I want to stay on this whole concept of admissions. What is the admissions process for entering an exam school, if you will?
Well, it varies from a single test score in eight New York City schools, which for 40 years have used something called the Special High School Admissions Test and nothing but that, more normally, schools that use a kind of a college admissions type process, where the admissions office is looking at a whole market basket of characteristics of the applicant, including their test scores, but also their grades in middle school, their teacher recommendations. Often they have to write essays. Sometimes they come for interviews. There are a variety of other means, and the people making the admissions decisions typically look across the board at all these factors. They do need some level of aptitude, or they probably won't succeed in these schools. But they also need other qualities like good attendance and hard work and serious motivation. And you don't get those from test scores. So we didn't find a single admissions system because each of these schools has its own history and has its own community and its own sort of political forces working on it. Obviously, one of the issues that these admissions offices have to grapple with, one way or another, are issues of equity and diversity. But that turns out to be pretty interesting, too.
It does.
Because when you look across these schools as a group, they are not bastions of privilege where rich white kids go. They turn out to be more like refuges for motivated, high-ability kids from families without a lot of money. Many of them minority. Asian Americans are overwhelmingly overrepresented in these schools, many of them immigrant families, many of them without much money. And to our surprise and delight, African American kids are overrepresented in these schools versus their share of the national high school population.
That's true.
Underrepresented are Latino kids and white kids. The incidence of poverty among students in these schools is almost the same as in the larger high school population. Jessica and I concluded that these schools play a very important role in the lives of families with high-ability kids, but without the means to move to fancy suburbs or send their kids to fancy private schools.
Well, that's a good conclusion. My guest is Chester Finn, author of the book Exam Schools, Inside America's Most Selective Public High Schools. So, Chester, you mentioned before that there were very few of these exam schools here in California. In fact, looking at your book, there seems to be a real East Coast bias here that mostly the schools were concentrated in three states. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania make up about 25% of your sample there, with Illinois and California way, way behind the other three. So is this an East Coast cultural bias, or is it just that East Coast kids are more ambitious? What accounts for more exam schools on the East Coast?
Some of it's just history. The oldest of these schools is also the oldest public school in the country, the Boston Latin School, which goes back to the early 17th century. Some of the New York schools have been around for a hundred and more years. I believe Lowell High School in San Francisco is the oldest of the ones we found in California, and it was not always an exam school. It went through a conversion process 40 or 50 years ago. Into a selective admission school, but we didn't find any at all in the city of Los Angeles, which was sort of staggering, considering how many we found in New York, Chicago, and Philadelphia. I've had several people from Los Angeles get in touch and say, you know, we have very good programs here for gifted and talented kids, and they probably do, but those are not full-fledged schools. They're programs within schools, what we call schools within schools, and that's not what we were looking for in this book. There's no doubt that the East has more of these than the West. But honestly, every one of these schools has its own idiosyncratic history. So why is there one in Orange County, for example? Well, the people of Orange County, somewhere along the line, concluded that they needed a special school for their smart kids, for their high achieving kids. And yet you go another county over, and there won't be one. I do think that while this isn't the answer to every problem in American education by any means, I do think that this is a strategy that more places might want to consider doing.
That's a good advice. My guest is Chester Finn, author of the book Exam Schools: Inside America's Most Selective Public High Schools. Chester, what do you want readers to take away from reading the book Exam Schools?
Well, the large point isn't about these 165 schools, other than the fact that they're really interesting and, for the most part, admirable bunch of educational institutions. The large point is that if we care about the country's future, and you were saying this at the beginning yourself, we have to worry about not just pulling up the bottom so that everybody can read and write, but we also have to worry about who are going to be tomorrow's scientists and inventors and entrepreneurs and leaders. And those are pretty likely to come from fairly smart people who end up getting well-educated. And if we neglect the education of high-ability kids, and this goes back way before high school, it's got to start around third grade, we are going to imperil our future as a country. And there's already plenty of evidence from a whole host of international tests that at the high end, we're not competing. That is to say, the fraction of American students who get high scores on international tests is a much smaller fraction than in a number of other countries. And we're sort of flatlining educationally, while other countries are on the rise.
And that is a sad situation to be in. My guest has been Chester Finn. Chester, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, the book is easy. It's on the website of both Princeton University Press, which is the publisher, and, of course, Amazon and all the other folks that sell books. As for me, the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, where I work, has me and a lot of other things on its website, and that is www.edexcellence, that's edexcellence, all one word, .net. We've been working on education policy, education reform for a long time. And anybody that would like to join that and maybe even get our weekly newsletter is more than welcome to join in.
That is great. Chester, it has been a delight having you as my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
All the best.